Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 10. Appreciate the youth choir and their ministering tonight. And what a beautiful song. Oh Lord, how excellent is thy name. Amen. I appreciate the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. This text came to my mind a few weeks back. And I've been dwelling on it since that time, and there was a specific testimony that I was dwelling on early in the morning. I woke up getting ready for work and began to replay in my mind's eye Sister Combs, Sister Richmond, and Sister Betty and Sister Margie's mom, reminded of a testimony that she had years ago, and it's probably been 10 years now, but I remember her standing up on a Sunday night service, and she was visiting with her daughters at service, and I remember her saying very vividly, "I just want to hear him say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" And she began to repeat that. And there have been others throughout my life here that have been older that I have remembered saying that in their testimonies. And many of them have already experienced that beautiful reward that they were so hungering after. Isn't that an amazing hope that we have tonight, that heaven is real and you and I can go there? Glory to God. But the reality is, if we are still breathing oxygen, if we are still alive, we have not yet attained. Amen. We're still striving. We're still going forward. We're pushing on. And so the text we're going to read tonight, this whole fifth chapter, been studying it. There's about 20-something instructions that Paul gives the church of Thessalonica if they're going to be ready for the last days. Right? And basic, general, good practices for the church. And so I was talking to Brother Tim and Brother Kenneth today in our Marco Polo chat, and Kenneth said, "Brother, I wouldn't preach all 20-something on a Wednesday night." And I agree with him. And so tonight I want to focus on just about the first three or four instructions. They all tie together with the idea that you and I appreciate Sister Jennifer testifying just now about this. You and I need to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we are looking around at momentous days. And listen, young people, we cannot allow ourselves to be overwhelmed and encumbered by the thoughts of, "Well, if I would have just been raised in a different generation, it wouldn't be so hard. And if I could have just been, you know, 100 years ago out in the wilderness and a survivor man, and you know, they would have been great." Listen, God picked you out of all of eternity. God picked you and placed you into this season, into this generation for such a time as this. And God is going to have a church that is serving him and serving him well. Amen. And I want to be a part of that. Glory to God. Let's stand tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. We'll be reading to verse 10, and then we'll go back through the text. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety," notice that, "things that should be good, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." Notice this, "and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others." Do you see what that was just telling us to do something? "Let us not sleep as do others, but let us do" what? "Watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ," amen, "who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Now notice that last sleep is different from the previous definition of sleep that we read earlier. He said here, those that sleep in the night. That's talking about that physical, lackadaisical, lack of regard of what's happening around you sleep. But the last one in verse 10, it says, whether we wake or sleep, that's talking about whether we are alive or whether we die and pass on and get our reward that way, we will live together with Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Appreciate you standing in honor of the word. We were 2 weeks out from our due date with Emma. And Sister Sarah had some had a photographer come to the house and got some pictures taken, and she had prepared a bag, and she had been on me for some time. You need to have a bag ready. You know, if we need to go to the hospital, it's 3 weeks. 3 weeks, okay. See, I don't remember that. Thank you. 3 weeks out, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, Brian. And I'm out, you know. Brian, babe, we gotta go. And I jumped up and I literally spun in circles about 3 or 4 times. I had nothing prepared, nothing ready. And she's just waiting on me. You know, we're ready to go to the hospital, you know. Time's wasted. And here I am, I'm trying to throw stuff together. I half asleep, I knew the season was near. I just didn't know how close it really was, right? And so I'm hoping that there's some other men out there that have some sympathy for me, and every lady in here that you just forgive me. Amen. Sister Sarah did. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing how things can be so close and imminent, yet we really aren't as ready for them as we probably should be? You know, that night, first child, had no idea what was about to happen, and if we would have known, oh my, you know. So it's probably a good thing. But we were expecting something. And not just some, we were expecting someone to come. And oh, the joy that was going to accompany that arrival. And we had prepared, most of us had prepared. But the reality was, I personally was not ready. Sister Sarah had her bags packed. We had the nursery ready. We had done all this stuff, set it in order. But Pastor, my own personal things were not ready. And I knew it was coming. I knew it was about to happen. But I just procrastinated. I pushed it on down the road a little bit longer. And it caught me. It sure did. Amen, Sister Eden. Thank you for saying that. This first verse says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. You know what's going to happen. If you've been serving the Lord for any length of time, you are aware that the return of Jesus Christ is going to happen. You know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, unannounced. In just a moment's time, it's going to happen. And when things look like they're going great for the rest of the world, what they call fun, what they call success, what they call the pinnacle of living, in those moments of peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. Now listen, I'm not saying that tonight to gloat. I do not beat my chest and say, look at where I'm at and where those rank sinners are. Had it not been for the grace of God, where would we be? Can I tell you tonight though, whether you are a born again believer or someone that is needing to get things right with the Lord, His return is still coming and it's coming soon. And we have been given opportunity on a Wednesday night to change course or reset our focus in the direction we're going. I don't want to miss heaven for anything. I want to hear my Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into thy reward. Isn't that what we're living for? Isn't that why we do what we do? Why we believe what we believe? Because the hope of heaven constrains us to carry on, to push forward, to live for Jesus so that we make heaven our home for eternity. Oh, I want to make heaven my home. Amen. We see in this story that the possibility is there to miss out on being ready because we did not prepare our lives for the moment. He said here, let us not sleep, but let us watch and let us be sober. Now that sleep is an indicator of lifestyle and of nature. Pastor preached Sunday morning about those that are followers of Jesus Christ. We are sheep. The Bible tells us that we are sheep. And if we are true believers, we will hear the voice of the shepherd. But notice also that sheep are those that are ready. Those that do not follow the Lord. Those that are not believers. The Bible describes them as spiritually asleep. They're not prepared. They're in a place of possible danger. And they are not ready for something to happen. Anybody ever knocked on your door in the middle of the night? You try to compose yourself and your thoughts, or maybe you heard something one night. We were at a marriage retreat somewhere in the nation, and we were staying at a hotel, and it wasn't that great of a location, and we heard gunshots, and we heard arguing outside the window, and you know, that'll motivate you in the middle of the night. Amen. I'm not ready for that. It's altogether different, though, if you're sitting and you're watching and you're expecting something to happen. Your attention is focused. Your mind is made up. You know what you're looking for. And spiritually, the Bible says that if we are born again, it is a lifestyle of awareness. A lifestyle of intentional watching. Guarding from things that would come into our lives and rob us of victory. Watching our lives in the direction that we're heading in. Watching the road that we take. The Bible said that the broad way is a busy way. There's a lot of people on the broad way. But the narrow way, oh, few there be that find it. It's an intentional lifestyle. One that is made up at the altar. One that is forged in the fire of faithfulness. A lifestyle that is rooted and grounded in a love and devotion for the one that we are waiting for. I'm telling you, friend, Jesus is coming soon. And we look around at the season and we look around at the signs and we know the time is about to happen. Amen. So let us not sleep. Notice this, though, as do others. If you are of the opinion that what everybody else is doing around you is the right thing to do, you are very much in danger. Our culture will not accept us. Our world will not accept us. They are spiritually asleep. And Jesus is warning us through His Word, you must be ready. Spiritually aware, awake. Notice here that it says, let us watch and be sober without inebriation, not drunken on things of this world that would impair our spiritual minds, drunken on things that would impair us in our prayer lives, that would impair us in our faithfulness. That would impair us in a service when there's others around us that need to hear God's word, but we are so drunken with our own desires, our own actions, our own wants that we are not even aware of those around us that spiritually need help. Drunken on our own choices, drunken on the things that, He said, be sober-minded. Spiritually aware that God is coming soon and we must be ready for Him. Having our garments sprinkled from an evil conscience, pure, holy, acceptable. My mind went back to a parable that Jesus told in Matthew 25. And many of us know it, but I want to refresh our minds on it. He gave us a parable of a wedding that was about to happen and 10 virgins that were called to meet and greet the bridegroom. He's coming, but they don't know when. And it's their job and responsibility to be ready for when that time happens, that they would be the one to usher him in to that wedding. And the Bible says that there were 5 wise who took with them their lamps and plenty of oil. We don't know when it's going to happen, Brother Tyler. And so we're going to be ready for that moment. There was 5 foolish that took lamps with enough oil in it to last them for a little bit, but they did not take what they needed sufficiently. And I wonder if this is not an indicator of those who have had some sort of experience with God, but not enough to last them till His return. I've known Him. That lamp is there. I'm in a position where He's coming this way. But how many in the church can sit and know that they've had an experience at one time with God, and yet now their hearts are not ready? And the Bible said that in the night watch, the announcement was made, the groom is coming. And those they rise to their feet. And the 5 foolish say, give us oil so that we can go also. And they said, we don't have enough for you. We've only got enough for our own selves. And they go out and they meet the bridegroom, and those 5 foolish are put away from the wedding. They were not ready. There are principles that you and I can take from these 2 accounts in Scripture. Number 1, believers know that Jesus' return is imminent. If you have any sort of relationship with the Lord and have been in church for any amount of time, you have heard that Jesus is coming soon. And therein lies the danger that we would fall into the same trap that those did in the Word of God that said, where is the return of the Messiah? For since our fathers fell asleep, you've been saying He's coming back. And how many since Sunday school have heard that Jesus is coming, and here we are in 2018 just rushing forward already into to the close of the first quarter of the year, and He's still coming back. Believers have what it takes to be ready. He's given us sufficient needs that you and I can make it to heaven. We've been given salvation. We've been given the Holy Spirit. The power, Pastor preached also on Sunday night about the power of the Holy Ghost and the working that He has in our lives. You and I have the oil that it takes to make it to heaven. But are we ready? You see, It's one thing to have what you need. It's another thing to use what you have and what you have access to. And maybe tonight you are here and you'd say, Pastor Brian, you're right. I know what's right and wrong. I know what I have access to, but I haven't taken advantage of it. You know what? This would be a great night to be ready. It'd be a great night to get ready. You might have been in church your whole life, but you just stop and say, you know, there's some things that have come into my life, into my home, into my desires, into my focus, that it's just robbing me of spiritual victory. I want to be ready. I want to make sure that I'm ready. We must be prepared. Verse 6 through 8 said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober. It is a lifestyle choice. I want my life to be ready. Can I ask you something tonight, church? How is it between you and your Savior? Are there things robbing you of that readiness? How is it? You know, I want to make heaven so badly. But that requires me to live in a way down here that I'm going to make it there. See, He's already told us His promise is true. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, if you're ready. And so I want to ask you tonight, Sister Cruz, won't you come to the piano? to find a place around the altar and to let the Holy Spirit search your heart. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know me. Try my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me to the way of everlasting. Search me." You know, if those five foolish young ladies would have just prepared, looked at the situation that it could be and say, "You know, I don't have enough." And I'm going to tell us, church, we're not going to have enough in ourselves. If we try to live this life on our own, we're going to fall short. We're not going to make it. You know, if we don't, literally, we cannot survive in our own abilities. But oh, that 10th verse, we will live in Him and with Him. I promise you, we'll have more than enough. And one of these days when that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When that moment happens, every time you said yes to the Spirit and no to the flesh, every time you said yes to God's will and no to your flesh, every time you said yes to the things of God, even when temptation was there, when struggles were there, when trials were there, every time you gave your whole, every life's ability to the Lord, it'll all be worth it. And that song will truly come to pass. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Beloved, we don't deserve this life. But I tell you, He surely did give us a wonderful, merciful, gracious gift. The gift of life, of hope, and salvation. Are you ready? Are you ready? Amen. We can be. We can be. Billy Graham's part of his memorial service was today at the Capitol building. And to my knowledge, he's the only one other than the sitting presidents that have ever been interned in the Capitol, I believe. Profound impact upon so many people. And yet, when describing his funeral of what he wanted before he passed, he said, "I don't want my name mentioned. I just want Jesus talked about. A life given over, ready to meet His Savior." Young people, there's nothing we're going to face in this life that's ever going to be worth not serving Jesus for. But you know how we make it to heaven? We stay faithful. Stay faithful on a Wednesday night and then a Thursday morning at school. Stay faithful on Friday night when friends are inviting you to do other things. And on Tuesdays when it's so boring you just cannot wait to get out of your house. Stay faithful. Church, you know how we make it to heaven? We serve Him with all of our heart. We stay faithful when services are dry, when the preaching's not that great. You know, when your daughter's screaming the whole time you're preaching. Amen. Anybody else notice that but me? All right. You know, you just stay faithful. And you keep serving the Lord day in and day out, because one of these days He's going to call you home. And oh, I'm waiting for that call. Amen. I want to invite us tonight all across the house, no matter who you are or what's going on in your world, I want to invite you to find a place to pray and make sure that your soul is right with the Lord. I'm telling you, nothing in this life is worth missing heaven over. Let's come find a place to pray tonight. Amen.